Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Oh, God is so good. He's so good. He is greatly to be praised. It's greatly to be praised. All right. The new year hasn't yet begun. And won't be long. A few days. And always, because there's a new year, you finished another year. And that's always a good thing. I made it through the year. So let's look at Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass. That doesn't mean it came to pass. It means, and God foreknew that it was going to come to pass. God actually planned this. He knew before the foundation, before he even created anything, he already knew this day would come. So it's a big deal. A big deal. Came to pass in those days. These are the last days. Anything after the prophet Daniel is last days. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree. Huck. C-H-O-Q. Huck. So this decree or will of God that he purposed in his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit Godhead, he purposed that this day would come. And it's 2,000 years ago. But he purposed that this day would come for our happiness. He's always been a loving father, never been an angry judge. He's never been a law keeper, I mean a law maker for you to keep. He's always been a law keeper for himself to keep. So if he demands something of you, requires something of you, he provides it. God himself, Abraham, the father of faith, said, God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will provide the sacrifice. God himself will provide the offering. God himself will make sure that he's happy. That's easy, because God's always happy. The one thing about my preaching, which is the Bible, is that God's good. God's always been good. He'll always be good. You can't make him not good. Other gods, they're not good because they're not gods. I mean, so they don't do good or bad. They're just worthless. Nothing. They're nothing. Mohammed's God, Allah, that's a nothing. Buddhists, Hindus, and all of them. Why? Because they put burdens on you. I can't be a good God. A good God does not say to the children that are born, now get to work. Behave yourself. You didn't say that to newborn babies. And you don't say that to adults if they're born again. Because in this kingdom that we're part of, growing up is still let Jesus do everything. Growing up as a bride doesn't mean you have to do anything. It means you just get blessed all the time. How many know that the blessings of God are designed to run only to the beneficiary? They don't run to the trustee. In any trust, all the blessings run to whoever the beneficiary is. And no burden. In a true trust, no burden runs to the beneficiary. All the burden falls on the trustee. So God sent his son into the world, that baby, to be born to carry a burden. Why? Because he wanted to. As soon as he got to be 30, he was an adult. I don't know if you know that. In the Bible, until you're 30, you're not an adult. So you don't get early marriages. But sometimes they happened. But it isn't God's will. But especially when you're mature in God, isn't 21, when you're mature in God, I mean, militarily, you're mature then. And they did that too. But you weren't a mature man until you were old enough to get married. When you're old enough to get married, that's the great one. You girls walked in just in time. So God plans everything out for your benefit. He's never had one plan that was for your burden. Now people think that it's okay if they want to think they can, but our light will cause them to see. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're for. We're for to be the salt of the earth and then become the light of the world. So let's say that chair 4 was salt, and let's say chair 6 was light, and they are. So if the salt has lost its savor, then it's worthless and it'll never reach 6. But here's what works with salt. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament had to be accompanied by salt, or it wasn't worth anything to God. He wasn't pleased. He would not accept that sacrifice. So unless your sacrifices are filled with faith, they'll never be acceptable to God. Amen. He doesn't like people having burdens, carrying, you know, trying to be good, trying to be nice, man at his best. But man at his best, it's altogether nothing. Absolutely vanity. It's worthless. Don't even try to be good. You either are or you aren't. You were either born again or you weren't. And once you are, you're not going to labor and work, because all of your labor and work here should be love, and it should be freely done. And all you have to do to get that is you have to go through this death thing. That's about it. How many know that death doesn't mean death? It has nothing to do with physical death. Your physical death would not make you acceptable. What makes you acceptable to God is that you mix salt with your discipleship. In other words, you're going to go through some growing up. What is it? Oh, it's so simple. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. So in other words, take all His blessings. It's just good news. You see, to submit to a husband that loves you and, you know, just has nothing but benefit to give to you, it's awesome. And so that's a good husband. That's a good husband. Who doesn't take care of his own needs, because God does. Doesn't take care of his own needs, because God does. So, a man doesn't need to have the wife take care of him. She would do it naturally if you took care of her. So, if I take care of Peggy, then she takes care of me. And, you know, she likes it. She likes me to be concerned just about her. Well, what are you getting me? So that's good. I like that. And so if my only thought is, what am I going to get? But my only thought is, what can I give? How can I bless her so that she has a full and abundant life? Like you, Raul. That's your thought, is constantly how to bless your wife. And then the children get the benefit of that, too. So there it is. So many years ago, 2000, Caesar Augustus at that time decided to tax the world. How many know that is a way to oppress people? I mean, it can start out in a noble kind of thing. Our system started out with just, you know, a percent or so. And that was a burden on very few people, by the way. And so it wasn't burdensome in the beginning. They were just simply raising revenue. But after a while, it became burdensome. And today, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty powerful. Well, that's okay. You know what? It doesn't hurt us. Because of Chair 5. We already know how to be disciplined and rejoice. And because we know what the secret is. Heavy government means your liberties are gone and so on and so forth. But you can correct it so easily. Just worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, and God will take care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Chair 4, gift, 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 gift. Here's the prize, but here's the gift. They're not the same. So in order to get this prize that we're after, which is Jesus himself, by the way, you have to go through this suffering, this death of self, which is, why worry? The suffering is, why worry? Why are you worried? Why do you care? I try to teach that to Peggy all the time. It's, Peg, don't worry about it. Let me do it. Let me take care of it. Well, you might have forgotten or whatever. It's okay. Well, let it fall apart because it's still my responsibility. That's what men are for, to do that, cover you, you know, so you're not worrying about anything. Amen? Could I hear an amen? So what you want to have is a man that is completely comfortable with himself because of God. And if you marry some man who's comfortable with himself but without God, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So you want to marry in such a way that you're comfortable with being you, because you don't have to be anything. You can be anything you are. I don't love Peggy because she's a certain way. I love her just because I love her. She doesn't need to behave well at all. I don't want her to behave. I don't care if she behaves. She can misbehave, behave well. She can be one second this, the next second that. Doesn't bother me at all. I don't change. Why? Well, God taught me that. So if the man has been taught by God, then he repents of his old thinking as sinner or hypocrite. Because the rest of mankind is either a sinner or a hypocrite. So there you have it. So you got two choices over here. You want to be wicked openly, or you want to be wicked secretly. How many know everybody has a dark side? Christians. Christians do. Christians do. A lot of pastors do. Pastor David, for example, has a dark side to him. Pastor Dave, you should confess.
His flesh shows up every once in a while.
Yeah. See, I knew it. I knew it. But but he has a perfect wife, so it's okay.
It all evens out.
But the man should be matured, and that's chair five. Chair five matures you. Chair four is God loves you just the way you are. Just as I am, without one plea. So here, I can keep all my sins. He still loves me because I'm his beneficiary. But here, I'm learning to be a trustee. And I'm not a trustee yet, but I'm learning to be. So I'm in discipleship so that I can take the burdens as a mature person, right? So maturity is here. This is the prize that I'll have for all eternity, not only in time right now. But men, we should be raising men who are complete lovers. Jerry. You need to be a complete lover. Never worry about yourself. Never care about yourself. Just take care of your granddaughters, and your daughter, and son, and so on and so forth. And there, you have no problem.
And I have my hands full.
You do? Yeah, that's good. But you can handle it. You can handle it, because that's what men are made for. They're made for abuse. So learn to abuse him. Get him to do more. Why? Because men are givers. They like to solve problems and so on and so forth. And so whatever the challenge is, don't let them off the hook. Make them work. Don't help them out. Don't help them out. Let them do it themselves. Why? Because that's a true man. So Jesus came to show us what a true man's like. She owed a big debt, his girlfriend, and he paid for it. Said, no, you don't. By the way, that's the first thing I did when I got married, was Peggy had bought a new car, and first thing I did was paid it so that she didn't have to make even one payment. So I don't want her to have any debt. And we've never ever had one, ever. We've never had one in all of our marriage. Houses, cars, whatever, no debt. Cash, everything. And by doing that, we don't eat. Because you know, pastors don't make a ton. No, that's a joke. They just you know, don't spend everything. So we never have. We've always saved. No, I don't care how much we made. We would always save. We always lived within our means. never had a debt, never borrowed anything, never needed anything, never wanted anything. So God has supplied. How many know that all your needs are supplied by God? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory.
Amen.
But somehow He has an effect down here. And so if you trust Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll give you everything else. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So God is generous. God is kind. And it isn't just people being nice. It's God Himself who guarantees that, because He's a man. He's a burden carrier. God is the God of all comfort, because He always wants everyone, even people that hate Him, despise Him, forget Him, misuse Him. He doesn't care. That doesn't trouble God at all. So He's not like Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. He's coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. You know, that's not God. Our God doesn't act that way. He doesn't care if people misbehave. As a matter of fact, He made people knowing ahead of time they would misbehave. He deliberately put that tree right in the middle so that they'd have to pass it every day. Don't eat of this tree. So, you know, you tell that to a little kid. Don't touch this little figurine that's on the coffee table there. Pretty soon it'll be in their mouth, and then they'll step on it and break it and so on. Little kids are just like that, right? And so you as a parent, you have to put everything away and lock it up and so on if you don't want them to get into it, right? So it's up to God to protect you. Not up to you.
Amen.
So, you're not evil because you want. You're evil if you don't. Did you hear what I just said? You're not evil if you want happiness, joy, peace, love, etc. But God is the only issue then, is do you supply it, do others supply it, or does God supply it? That's all.
God supplies.
So He supplies everything. I love God. Who wouldn't? Sure. If you got to know Him. But if you thought He had a law that you had to keep, that'd be number two. You'd be a hypocrite, because nobody's ever kept a law. Jesus has kept the law for everybody. The only reason He did that was because nobody could. So there's never been a creature in heaven or earth that has kept the law. Never. And so what God wants is, you have just trust in Me, I'll supply everything. And so when you're an ambassador, you don't have to go by your own pocket. The government that sends you asks to pay for everything, take care of everything. And if you come from a country like the United States, it's a nice. They put up nice embassies wherever they go. So we're God's ambassadors here. And so God puts up nice embassies for us. Heavenly ones. Right? Now, they should start within. Those embassies should be beautiful within. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. So that beauty that God has, we're about to enter a new year, another year, and we're getting really close to His return, but it's not yet. And who cares? Who cares if it's 1,000 more years? It won't be 1,000, but who cares? Or it could be 1,000 days, or it could be whatever. But whatever it is, it would be good to get ready today so that you could enjoy heaven on earth rather than just in heaven. How many know you should have heaven on earth every day?
Amen.
Now, is there anyone here that could say, I already have that, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, I really do. Why? Because it's internal. The kingdom of God is within you. It's internal first. And if you get it within, you'll get it without. If you get it within. So what you want to do is get it through the Word living in you richly. And Jesus is the Word, so it's Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now here's Jesus Savior. Here's Jesus Lord. Here's Jesus Bridegroom. The most important thing is Bridegroom. But you can't have a bridegroom unless you first have a Lord that kills off your old self, your selfish self, your flesh, every day. I love this chair. It's like the electric chair. And you get executed every day. And it's voluntary, too. Because if you don't want to do it, you can just walk away. So if you don't want to be If you want to have a selfish day, it's okay. You can have one. But I would go back to this chair then, because this is the beneficiary chair. You can always go back and be a juvenile. Not taking care of yourself. Letting God do everything. Okay? But you also can go through this one voluntarily, because happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. So since I trust in him, I'm not afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. And when I have no fear of want or need or anything, I have to prove myself or be great or be awesome or, you know, do anything. If I just relax totally in chair four, this is the comfort. This is one of those lazy back chairs, whatever they're called, you know, where you just lay back and you can go to sleep, whatever. But this one is the electric chair. Because you have certain things in your life that aren't right. And the last one is a love seat, of course. You know, so it's great. How many know your ultimate destiny is the bridal throne? That's what you were destined for. And that was the original plan, but everybody sinned. But that's okay. Because how many know God has plan A, if that fails, plan B, and if that plan C? So always, he knows the end from the beginning. He always planned in the beginning. I want no one to sin, but just in case they do. Then I want no one to be a hypocrite, but just in case they are. Then I want hypocrites and sinners, one and two, to repent of that. And that word in Hebrew is nacham. Say it. Nacham. Nacham. Say it.
Nacham.
All right. Nacham means repent, which everyone knows that means change your mind. But what it means is change your mind instead of worrying about sinning or not sinning, one or two. It means let God do everything. Comfort yourself. Comfort you, my people, saith the Lord. So the real repentance is not stop sinning and start doing good. That's not repentance. That is not, I'm just going to say it again. That is not repentance. Repentance is not stop sinning and start doing what's right.
Amen.
That is not repentance, because then you'd be doing it. Now, you just took God's job. Because God wanted men not to sin, he said, but he knew they were going to. And then he said, don't be hypocrites, but he knew they would do that too. But then he said, repent of that labor. Come unto me, all you two over there who labor and are heavy burden. I'll give you rest. Because my son Jesus will live a perfect life on earth for you, whether you're a sinner or a sinner that's hiding under a mask, a hypocrite. So he doesn't really care. I wish you were cold rather than lukewarm, but if you want to be lukewarm, I love you too. How many know that God loves lukewarm people? He has to, because there's a bunch of them. So it doesn't bother God that people are lukewarm. Let's say you're lukewarm, you can't make yourself hot. Lukewarm cannot just heat up. There's no way. So, but if you'll just, here, just take the gift before you deserve it. Just take it when you don't deserve it. Because he only gives this to sinners. Only faith is for sinners who don't have any faith in themselves to get themselves saved. So faith is just for somebody who sinned. So the good news only goes to sinners. It never goes to righteous people. Now I'll prove that. I came not for the righteous, but for sinners who repent. I just told you what repent means. It means be happy. It means relax. It means don't worry about it. God will take care of it. It means don't worry about picking up your toys, making your bed, going out and play. Just relax. Just know that God has provided everything. So Christmas is the best. It's even better than Easter. Christmas is the best time to think about what God is like, because there is no list, there is no law, there is no pressure. God wants to give everybody and anybody. Did you know it said God desires not the death of any sinner? So this chair 5 is only for saints. Once you're a saint and you know you trust in God for everything, then he says, okay, now trust me that you trusted me to give you everything by a promise. Now let me show you how to get the Father's house. Go to this next place right here and trust me here too as a disciple. Submit to what I say. It won't hurt your spirit. but it'll kill your flesh. Because that's your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is not that you were a sinner. Your biggest problem is that you still think you could do something. That's your biggest problem. I will say that again. Your biggest problem is not, oh, I sinned. I got to stop that. No, that's not your biggest problem. I'm going to go to hell instead of heaven. That's not your big problem. Your biggest problem is you just don't believe. Long before Adam and Eve fell, the falling was not that they ate the apple. They ate from the forbidden tree. Their sin was they disbelieved that God was good. And that when God says don't, it was for your good. Whenever he said don't, all sin is God wanted you to be happy and you chose something that will make you not happy. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
This is so good. This is just like real life. God knows that little kids, when they're born into the world, they're going to someday say no and resist you and rebel and so on. That's just normal. But what parent throws them away because they've sinned? Well, some do, but that's not a good parent. But I planned on my kids becoming sinners. I wanted them to. I was looking forward to the day when I would tell them, don't you do that. I loved that. And they thought I meant it. Actually, I meant the opposite. Just like God. He gave a law that you couldn't keep. And so I always made the laws ridiculously difficult. So that they were brought down. You fold that just like a hospital corner on that bed. Then you can go out and play. I don't know how to do it, Daddy. No. You can do it. Now, I'm going to show you how, and so on and so forth. I did it all so they would fail. And then Peggy was more legalistic about it, but anyway. So then they would be out playing and said, Peg, let's trick them. David, did you clean your room? Yes, sir. You did? Okay. We didn't even have to go back. It was already 1 foot full of trash, you know. But anyway, so we just go back there. David, look at this room. You call that cleaned up? Yeah. How? Well, these toys were over here, and I put them to here. Well, they're supposed to be in the box. I knew, but the box was already turned over and so on. And what about making the bed? Yes, the blanket was here on the floor, and I threw it there, over there. So his idea was that you can. I want to go out and play. That was his whole focus, was not on cleaning the room at all. So I gave them things that I knew they couldn't do. Well, Jack was outside and he was waiting for me. Little kids are just like that. They're totally selfish, just thinking about themselves. But instead of spanking him, we just did it for him. Showed him how to do it again. Patient. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't want my kids to obey. I wanted them to know they couldn't obey. Why? Because that's what God's teaching us. You cannot obey. You don't have one shred of goodness in you. Not only do you have a dark side, you're dark. Without Christ.
Yes.
He is the only light. His life was the light of man. So they know that you're a loving parent, because you've taken care of them all those years when they were growing up and loved them and hugged them and forgave them and so on. But now they need to know, as they're growing up, that it's not easy to do chores and so on and so forth unless you're trusting, unless you're happy. And so this is the happy chair here. This is a very happy chair here, is I want to do everything my parents say and I want to please them, because little kids always want to help. Mom, can I carry the china to the dining room? No. No. Put that plate down. I'm just trying to help. And so little kids will break them and so on and so forth. So you have to, as a parent, realize what's more important, the china or the child.
Amen.
You have to decide that things are to be owned and used, but they're also nothing. For example, Margaret, she's not here so I can talk, but on her third car that she had crashed up, she wanted to have a new one this time instead of the old junks we had, because the others, one was a big Oldsmobile and she hated it. It was ugly and so on. But you could hit it with a truck and the truck would get damaged and she'd be okay. And so we got these old horrible things. And but they were so desperate as young people. I want to drive. Okay, all right, we'll get you a car. It was a clunker. It was a junk. The others had BMWs and Mercedes and so on and so forth. But anyway, our kids were learning character. We just told them, you know, you could have a Mercedes, but we're trying to teach you character right now. What's important is not what kind of car you drive, but that you have a car to drive. Mm-hmm. And when they're 16 and 17, they're all for that. Mm-hmm. But by the time they get 18, 19, and so on, they want something better. But I always gave the kids laws they couldn't keep so that then I could show mercy. So after her third damaged car, which was going to cost thousands and thousands of more dollars, I had made an agreement after the second one, which I'd made an agreement after the first one. You know, you're not going to drive from now on because you've just damaged the car, and that's going to cost us a lot of money to fix it and replace it. But here's the deal. Next time you pay if you have one. Dad, I'm not going to have one. I know. So we're going to fix it. They're going to have that. But this, let's just have an agreement. Otherwise, we're not going to do it. We'll just let you drive the damaged one because you're going to keep having accidents. No, I will not. Okay, good. Write that down. So I made them write it down and sign their name to it that if the next time, that was the second time, if you do, then we drive you from then on. You don't have cars because you're not capable of driving. Do you see how I made the law heavy? And so, anyway, and after the second one, we forgave and so on and so forth. And then on the third one, she said, Dad, yes, sit down. I knew something. Uh-oh. So she said, sit down. I'm on my way. So she walked in the house. I said, what happened? Dad, just sit down. I'm trying to explain something. It's my fault? Well, praise God. What is your fault? I had another accident. Okay. So what? Well, I'm taking the blame, just like you said. I should never blame somebody else or the weather or something or other or no oil in the car or whatever. It's my responsibility. I'm taking full responsibility. Well, praise the Lord, I said. That was awesome. And so she felt that was good. And I said, and no, Dad, I know what you're going to say. I'm going to pay for it. Well, praise God for that. Now you took full responsibility and you're going to pay for it. That is awesome. How much have you saved? Well, I don't have any. Well, what do you mean? You were going to pay for it. I am. I'm going to borrow it from you. You're going to pay for it, and then I'm going to pay you back. You want a 30-year loan or what? What are we looking at here? Anyway, she ended up getting the new car just like she wanted. And she hasn't had one since. So that's how you train people, is you give them something they can't do so they realize they can't do it so that they have to have a relationship with the parent, with the God, with whoever, and depend on him to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I mean, no, I was happy to do that. Why? Because she's my daughter. Do you know why God loves you? Because he created you. You're his. And he's thinking night and day just about you. Is everybody aware of that? He never thinks about himself. He's never thinking, gee, what do I need today? Nope, he doesn't need anything. How many know God doesn't need anything? He's got a cattle and 1,000 years and all that kind of stuff, whatever. But he doesn't need anything. He's always thinking, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are always thoughts of peace toward you. Did you know that you have that? What a God who's always thinking of 4, 5, and 6 so you can get 7. He's always thinking, how can I get there from being a sinner, skipping hypocrite if possible, but if not, then it's okay. And then repenting of both of those, and then believing on me, and then submitting to me as a disciple, and then actually walking in love, led by the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, so that I can marry him and then give him everything. Now, God's plan is simple. It's the same plan anybody here should have for your children and grandchildren. Do they have to deserve it? Absolutely not. I don't even want them to. I never wanted my kids to behave. Now, I have children that do behave, but that was not important to me. What was important for them was to trust God. So eating the apple or not eating the apple is not what I wanted. What I wanted is, trust me, believe me. I want to have a relationship. No one's going to love you like your mother and I. We're totally on your side. And so all the pressures that we put on you is only so you can be happy. In other words, we're going to eliminate that part of you called the flesh here, separate the flesh from the spirit. How many know the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword? Separating flesh from spirit or soul from spirit. So the soulish part of you, selfish part of you, the self part of you needs to die daily. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that every day we die, every day, daily. Take up your cross every day to follow him. Why would I do that? Only so you can get to here. If you don't get to here, that's because you didn't get to here, and so you need to get from there, and don't skip this one. Now, most people skip this one because they don't like discomfort. They don't like going through tough things. Most people just, this is really the bulk of Christians, let alone humanity, is I don't want to suffer even for a moment here. Well, and how will you get rid of your, anger, your fear, all those strongholds in your life that'll ruin your life if you don't get rid of them? How many know that pride is not a good thing to have? Because God humbles the proud, right? And so he wants to get rid of pride, anger, lust, bitterness, jealousy, etc., 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 etc. And how does he do that? He does it on a daily basis. So most people just skip that part. Let's just go from faith in Jesus to doing the will of God. Oh, I love that. Isn't that clever? Don't you see how clever? It's almost as though those hypocrites and liars didn't go away. They never did repent of the good news here. Is, well, don't try to go directly over here to love. You'll just get legalism. If you try to get your ministry and you haven't grown up or getting married before you're actually mature, it's going to be tough. Like, let's say, for example, if a woman trusted that her husband was reliable. I mean, he could be good looking, he could be rich, he could be even somewhat funny, he could be intelligent, he could have all those things, but if in fact he's still sinful, he's just childish and you married him too early. So a lot of people, though, want to get it over with because they just want to. There's no reason, they just want to. Why did you marry him knowing that? Well, I thought my love would change him. That's good. That's a complete illusion. I just wanted to marry him. Ah, there it is. There it is. So it's your own fault. So I would say 99% of women do marry men. I don't know what the real figures are. The new homosexual agenda, we got to try other ways to sneak around it. But you know what? God isn't mad. He is not angry at any of those deals. Al-Qaeda, etc., etc. Those are not your problems. Your problem is you. You need to separate the part of you that is flesh from the part of you that's spirit. Yeah. That's what the Word of God does. Every word in the Bible is meant to do this. Every word in the Bible has been designed to make you beautiful and happy. Isn't that amazing? So everything that God has, there's not a shred of anger in him. A shred of fear shouldn't be in you. Nothing. He wants you to be happy, not in heaven. He wants you to be happy now. Here. Here below. As in heaven, so on earth. Well, that can't happen if you're in heaven. If you're in heaven, of course you're going to be happy up there. But he doesn't want you to be happy up there. He wants you to be happy here now. On the way. Jesus is the way. So skipping this is called, I want to go direct to being born again. I want to go all the way to be an adult. That's impossible. You have to go through those teen years. You have to go through that growing up part there before you get married. Before you're an adult. Before you take on responsibility. So being responsible doesn't mean I'm 21. How many know that a lot of kids in college are a little bit irresponsible? Now, not everybody, but a whole bunch of them. But the ones that aren't were raised in such a way that they went through this discipline or discipleship, you know, however you got it. And if you didn't get it, it's your pastor's fault, because that's a pastor's job. And he should be teaching not the children, but he should be teaching the parents. But he shouldn't be teaching the wife, he should be teaching the man, because the man's always the one that's unreliable. I'm not thinking of you, Dan, I'm just pointing at you. And so an unreliable man will produce all kinds of chaos. So the problem in the churches today is men. Remember that, Jacob. We don't have enough men. What is a man? It isn't just somebody who's 21. A man is someone who loves the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, strength, and their neighbor as themselves. Who does that? Well, that's the pastor's job, not the government's job, not, you know, even your parents. Because parents today didn't have parents that did it either. So we don't have it being handed down, but we can change all that anytime.
That's right.
So you can change it in a minute. I don't care how old the child is. They can be 87. This still can be changed. In a minute. In a twinkling of an eye. Why? Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Because life has a way of... life experiences have a way of disciplining you even if you didn't go through the discipline. I would say this, that 90% of the people in prison, 90% were spoiled. Only maybe 10-15% were actually neglected and all that kind of stuff. But they all pretend like they're victims. I don't know why I'm here. You know, whatever. Because they feel sorry for themselves because their mother always got them out or somebody always covered for them and they never grew up. So very few mature people are in prison. Why? Because they went through the discipline. Otherwise, you're in bondage. You're in the house of bondage, and you want to be free. But when you're free, you have to be free to love so that then you can live in happiness forever and ever and ever. But why not start today? So the minute you're born again, most people are happy when they're born again. Newborn babies, you know, they're just happy, and they don't know anything. You know, they don't know there's wars going on or, you know, their parents are going to separate or whatever. They don't know. Right? But little kids are just, you know, they're just, you know, they don't know anything. But as they go through life, they learn. And then bitterness sets in, disappointment, and hurt, and so on and so forth. But that's not the kind of discipline God wants. But that's why he has to send people here. First of all, faith is the only foundation for the building. The house is going to be built on a rock somewhere. This is the rock, faith. Forget that you're a sinner. Forget that you're self-righteous, religious person, moral, clean, nice, pretending. Forget that. Repent of all that. All you need is Jesus. 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 Isn't that amazing? So when you fall in love with Jesus, he actually is your life. He is your joy. He is your peace. He is your everything. You don't need a good husband. You don't need a good wife. You don't need good pastor. You don't need good anything. You just need Jesus.
Amen.
So a good pastor is not someone who's good. He's someone who tells you the one who is good.
Yes.
But Jesus said, no one is good but God. And in the Greek, it actually says it like this. No one is good except one, God. It's so expressive. It's so explicit that the only thing that anybody needs in the whole world is to be in Christ. So in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, knowing him, knowing him, knowing him. Now, let's know him as Savior, know him as Lord, then know him as Bridegroom, then forever and ever. That you are free, 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 free. Now, that freedom is what God wants, is that you're free of sin. Here, you're free of the guilt of sin right here. But here, I'm actually free of sin because the sin is now myself. The reason that sin comes out of this tree is because it's me. So he forgives me without checking my works. But here, he wants to get rid of those works by getting rid of me. So remove the tree, change the tree, make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. So here, I am called good. I'm imputed to be good. It's just reckoned to me because I had faith in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and my bridegroom. And the more I behold him, the more I know him and the power of his resurrection, the more I enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. So now I know him as Savior. Now I want to know him as Lord. And that causes me to suffer because he says, no. And he does that by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what's missing in the church today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, I never mentioned this. And with fire. How many love that? Isn't that exciting? Because that just burns up all the dross, all the, you know, anything that's wrong in you. Let me just ask this. Don't raise your hand, though. How many here have pride? Okay, 100%. How many here have anger every once in a while? I mean, when it's needed, you know. How many here have, you know, and so on and so on. So my point is, he wants to get rid of those because those don't lead to happiness for others or for you. God's not mad at you because you're proud and happy and unhappy and all that. He's not mad at you. He's not angry at you. He never has been, never will be.
Amen.
He just wants your happiness, that's all. So his heart breaks to say, without forcing you, what can I do to cause you to mature? Because I'll never force you. I had my son die for you completely without your permission. I just had him die. But there was your whole righteousness. Then you believed in that. I didn't make you believe. You just did because the offer was so good. And you saw how wonderful it was. And therefore, now that you've received that, I want you now to trust me. Just trust me on this. Come and submit to me. I'm only going to take away the cancer. I'm going to leave the health. You know, you're not going to lose anything that you want to keep. So everything God has for you, Willis, is good. But he's all powerful. He's all wise. He's all everything. So you don't have to worry. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. Can Al-Qaeda scare me? No. Why? Because I love them. I hate what they do, but I love them. Can homosexual agenda bother me? No, doesn't bother me at all. Will they force churches and so on? They'll try. But the issue is none of that. I don't need to fight those people. What I need to do is worship God with all my heart and soul and strength and my neighbor as myself. That's what Jesus wants. How do I get that? That's chair six here. Chair six is where the peace has that little olive or whatever it is, branch there. And this peace that passes understanding is when I'm actually obedient to God because I was discipled and got my sin removed, so I didn't care about myself. I only cared about others now. And that was because I had faith that Jesus Christ, who began a good work in me, didn't make me keep the law, but he kept the law for me and then gave me a free gift. And then it moved here that he said, here, let's go through the fire here and get all that burned off and baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. There's a little fire right there on the top. And then I'm suddenly become a lover, and I really am, actually. I mean, really, not just by faith. It's no longer by faith, but it's faith active in love. Faith active, doing something, working. Who did it? Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. In every way, I'm a spiritual person now, and I'm no longer me. I'm a new me. I'm Christ in me, me, or me in Christ, me. So, there it is. We're one. And so by beholding him, we are changed. How do you get fruit? Chair six. Easy. Get the branch grafted into Jesus Christ. So, here's the branch, right here, that is filled with deadness, because I just got picked it up somewhere. And then it's grafted into this living vine. So here's my eternal life, instead of just biological life. Apart from him, you can do nothing. But in him, you can do all things. So here, the doing is based upon the willing, which is based upon the believing. So believe, will, do. Simple. Salt. You remember the salt? It's chair four. The salt is the savor. When God sees the salt, he doesn't know whether it's good or bad, because it could have lost its savor. But when he smells it, he goes, ooh, that's sweet smelling. In other words, you had total faith not in yourself, but in Jesus. You totally were happy, not because things went well, but because things didn't appear to go well, but you trusted that behind the cloud there was a sun. You trusted that behind this problem there was someone that loved you and cared for you and would take care of you. You trusted that I don't care what comes up, God has the answer for it. God will make sure that I get blessed because he created me in his image and likeness. Therefore, no matter what I do, he'll take care that I grow up. Now, he won't force, so it's always free. Has to be free because God's free and he wants you to be just like God. So now I'm Christ-like spirit, soul, body. Outer court, holy place, holy of holy, etc., etc., etc. So everything in the Bible is super incredibly simple, black and white. God wants you to be happy. If he wants it, how many know he's going to get it? Now, he already told us not everyone will accept it because it's free. And you don't have to take an offer. If somebody offers you something, you don't have to open the present under the tree if you don't want to open it, right? So there's dear sinner. Ooh, I don't want that one. but it's actually you. And so you can go as a, I don't care what you've done. I love you. Just take that gift. So that gift is to everybody. This is the only religion in the world that loves sinners. Allah does not. If you don't become a Muslim, your head chopped off. I mean, that is a God that doesn't like sin. Now, how many know? They're doing that for your good. I'm just doing this for your good because we're gonna be in charge of this whole place pretty soon. And Allah's in charge of everything. And so we're just give you a choice here. Here's your free choice. You either want to be a Muslim right now, go all the way, study the Quran and so on and so forth, or we chop your head off. What do you want? Let's see. I think I'll take my head chopped off. And so, how many know that that's not a good choice? So, but I'm not going to be a Muslim, so I don't have a choice there. So they're not offering me a choice, they're just giving me a burden. I have to do it their way or else. No other God is kind, merciful. You have to earn his mercy in Judaism. The God of Israel, of course, is a merciful God, but he has to tell it to him a billion times. You ever read the Old Testament? It says, let Israel say the mercy of the Lord forever and so on and so forth. They have to say it all the time because they forget it so quickly. Why? Because theirs is not built on faith. They didn't follow Abraham. They followed Moses. Theirs is built on a law. Behave yourself. Try to be nice. Do the best you can to behave yourself, get along with people, build civilization, and so on and so forth. Well, how many know that all of that ends in death? A nice person does not end up in heaven. Because you did it.
Right.
You didn't let God do it. You didn't say that when Jesus said, it's finished, you didn't believe that. You believe that you had to help out a little bit. Or you began in the spirit, then you ended in the flesh. So that's why a lot of people get rid of this. They just want to go direct. I want to go indirect. I want to go, here I am born to die to resurrect from the dead. So my resurrection's after my death, and my death is after my birth. Jesus was born to die. When he died, then he resurrected. So you see, you're only resurrected if you're dead, and that's why he had to die, for you, for your sins. And therefore, you have to be born, and he born you again. So your natural birth, whether you were bad or good, whether you look good, number two, hypocrite, or whether you actually were just openly bad and didn't even try. And there are people like this. I was one. There are people like this who never made an effort at all to behave. But most people at least give it a shot. Like, okay, well, you don't have to be perfect, but just at least try. I never even tried. I don't want to. I just want to sin. But here, this person tries. And so they imagine they're a lot better than me. You know, that was part of the fun of being married to Peggy. Because she was always, you know, thinking, I'm blessing you. You're not blessing me. How many can see that? Do y'all see that? So, and I never tried. I never did anything to change. Well, you know, you should at least make an attempt. I don't want to. Well, do you love me? No. Do y'all see that? That's funny. No. Why? Why should I lie to her? She's my wife. No. I lie to everybody else, but I'm not lying to you. You really want to know? No, I don't. Because I read the Bible, and you're supposed to love, you know, like really, really, not just use you as an object. So I wasn't born again. I wasn't a Christian. I just wanted to get a lot of brains and so I could, you know, be great and famous and awesome and so on and so forth. How many know that's called selfish? Sinful. There's a few people like that. So, what is Christmas? It's that Jesus Christ came, lived your life for you, so that gives hope for a sinner. He said, I wish you were cold. Because if you're in this one, here, it's very, very difficult for a lukewarm, nice person to get into heaven because they think it's by their works. They're proud. They're proud of their works. They look humble, but they're actually proud. Their lips are far from him. Their heart is far from him. They give all this lip service, but it's not true. So God is not going to love anyone but a sinner. So number two is really a number one. So really, number one is number two. They're the same. It's just this one wears a mask saying, I did it. That's what God hates. Anything you do is not wrought in God. Any deed that you do, you put effort into it, you put sincerity into it, it's not going to work. Don't pay attention to David. He's wanting me to close down. I do have to leave on time. My family at home will crucify me. Now, let's have a testimony. Who has a testimony?
Freedom.
Freedom. It is freedom. This is the only freedom. This is the only freedom right here. Caesar did not, he put an onerous tax on people. We're still paying it to this day, and you're paying more and more and more. And you will keep paying until you do what God said. All you have to do is seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, you'll be set free. That's it. So there it is. Freedom, freedom, freedom. The fullest freedom. That's perfect love casts out all fear.
Maybe.
Sure.
So I just praise God.
So the harvest is ripe.
Amen.
The harvest is ripe, even among either group here. The harvest is ripe, just the laborers are few.
Yes.
But when you do ask, if nobody asked, then he couldn't take the offer. But you made an offer. Do you know Jesus? No. It's a good answer. But then you didn't say, oh, well, I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. What you said is, good, did you know that? And got the Holy Spirit then led you to do that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit loves that man more than you do. He was hoping some Christian would come along and give the light and the salt. Yeah. That salt makes the sacrifice of me, because I'm the one I'm sacrificing in chair 5. I'm the one I'm sacrificing. But it's not acceptable without faith. So the salt has to go with the thing. And I say this, Jesus did it.
Yes.
I don't say I did that. I'm dead. I don't take any credit because Jesus did it.
Amen.
So the best has been saved to the last. So next year is going to be awesome.